Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 261. Over at the Nerdist Channel, new shows premiering this week and next week. Try This at Home from Crab Cat Industries. That's Holly Conrad and Jessica Marazan, who you may have seen in the Comic-Con movie, who made the incredibly amazing Mass Effect stuff from Comic-Con a few years ago. Like, articulating faces, costume builders. They build stuff. They make stuff. They're going to show you how to do that stuff. And I think they're hilarious. So that is Try This at Home. And then next week is Blood and Guts with Scott Ian, the Fangoria show, where I believe the first episode is with Greg Nicotero, where each week a special effects makeup master shows Scott how to do like cool effects with stuff. So I think maybe we're getting Tom Savini too. So anyway, those are over at the Nerdist channel, youtube.com/Nerdist. I'd like to thank this week's sponsor for the Nerdist podcast. It is stamps.com. Why leave your house to mail things? Ever! You don't have to leave your house. You can just be a weird hoarder and then, I guess, cure your hoarding by printing all the exact postage for the crap you're collecting and just mailing it out to the world. That's stamps.com. Print the exact postage you need, then the mailman will come pick it up from you. You never, ever, ever have to leave your house. Before you do anything else, go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in Nerdist. You're going to get a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale up to $55 of free postage. That is stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. So this is a hostful, sort of a mostful, because we ended up having a guest for a little bit of it, but it's mostly a hostful. Mostful. I already said that. So we did a show on the Nerdist channel that premiered the day the new season of Doctor Who premiere called Dork Fork, which was mixed reviews. Some of you liked it. Some of you were violently angry about it. And so, you know, it was the first episode of a show. We're trying stuff. But we're addressing some of your suggestions. But Andy Bolt, who created the show, is a super awesome lady with a UCB background, and she's really cool and nice, so I just had her on so we could talk about it and just kind of deal with it, because most of the shows we do are pretty well received, but some people were very mean about this one, and so I think there was a slight perception issue with what the show was supposed to be and but what it actually was. And anyway, like I said, she's super cool and nice, and so I just want to have her on and hear her side and talk about it, because that's, I guess that's how I am. Well, I don't guess. I am, because that's what I did. So here we go, the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 261, Mostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, wait, there was a car chase?
Live. That was great.
I watched it live yesterday.
How was it great? People die in those things.
And no one died, and they threw a lot of money out the window.
Just throwing money right out the window.
Oh, really?
As they were driving around the neighborhood, it wasn't even on a... They were circling
like
around.
That's going to make the that's going to make the punishment less? Or
no,
like,
it was South L.A., and...
It was like 40-something and Normandy Fig, and they were throwing money out because they had just robbed a bank.
Yeah, they just robbed a Bank of America in Santa Clarita. And then the cops were chasing them, and then they were like, hey, here's a good way to get people to run out in front of the cops.
No one knows that for sure, if that was their...
That's idea. What I would have thought.
Yeah, but like, so they're throwing money out the window, and they keep on circling around the same neighborhood, so more and more people start going onto the streets to try and get this money, slowing down the cops.
Are they Robin Hooding it, maybe, or giving it back to the community?
Well, no. I mean...
Was John Hamm flown in as an FBI agent? Wait, this isn't Boston.
No, but his dick was.
Oh, yeah. And he could still be in. He could still be in Boston. Oh yeah, I guess we have to talk about that's so off. That's so off-putting that a paparazzo person would take a picture of John Hamm and then blow up the outline of his penis.
Well, have you ever seen a picture when it loads, you know, full on your computer and you're looking at a tiny square? He probably scrolled and was like, "Oh no,
yeah,
I better." Show everyone.
Well, I mean, you know, worse things have happened to women who have had pictures of them taken by paparazzi.
I understand.
Like, look at this camel toe, or look at their nip slip, or, you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah, no, I don't support it on either side.
Dick slip.
It was a little bit of a dick slip. But it wasn't even a slip, because it was all in there. Nothing was slipping. It was
Which is impossible to fit all of that in there.
I loved how angry you were. Like, really? He's got to have that too? Really? That no, just, fucking that too?
That's what everyone was just like. Oh, you see a bunch of guys just go like, yeah, fuck it, of course. Of course, the guy's like a great actor, really handsome, really funny and nice, and he's got a huge crank. Of course. Yeah, I would have that much confidence. I would become more handsome if I had...
If you had a bigger, you'd walk a little straighter.
Yeah.
Posture would be a little bit better.
Yeah, I'd shave my face more. I'd pull my hair. I would do things differently. So, by the time they get to it, they're like, well, you know, I didn't expect much more.
Have you ever thought about maybe just putting like a stunt cock in your pants and just walking around without underwear Bermuda shorts?
I get a zucchini and wrap it in tinfoil.
Wasn't a cucumber?
Was it a zucchini?
Was it a cucumber?
I thought it was a cucumber.
I think it might have been a cucumber.
It looks like they got armadillos in their trousers.
I mean, I think it... Listen, I think whatever you can jam in there will work just fine.
Yeah.
I regretfully got my back waxed because it's a little hairy.
Uh-huh.
Wax, that's a bit intense.
You're describing the situation
or
your
back?
Yeah, it
was. Both. I was getting my hair cut. And they had waxing, so I was like, you know,
just the patch.
I'm gonna try to wax the old back, because why not? And I don't recommend it.
I've never seen that offered at Supercuts.
It's hey, it's got to be the hair. It's got to be the back hair, which is not there anymore. It really does not feel good.
What was the idea behind it? Just to try and feel sexy?
No, I just yeah.
Hearing you say that word.
You know, I just like to pour hot latex on myself and roll around. No, what it is that my mother is Italian, and so I am hairier than it looks like I should be. And so it's not crazy.
I mean, I know you got hair.
It's not crazy. It's not like
Matt.
How often do you have, you know, your shirt off?
Well, a lot. I live with myself, and so you know.
And so you catch your hair.
And I just don't like it. It's off-putting. There should not be
around the house like this.
There shouldn't be hair back there.
I think I speak for Jonah when I say our shirts are probably off for about 15 minutes a day, and that's when we're in the shower.
But
15-minute shower.
but I just don't like. I just don't like it. And so I thought I'll just try to see what this is like.
Is it because it's uncomfortable or is it a vanity?
Well, it's vanity.
Yeah.
But then it's also because I exercise regularly, it just catches sweat more. Yeah, it's just fucking gross.
It's not all vanity then.
It's half vanity and half like I'm tired of sweating when I'm exercising.
That'll happen when
you're exercising. Wait, so I should shave my body?
Yep.
I sweat a lot.
You should shave your body just like an adorable seal and then you should just roll around. And then I'll set up some horns in a descending scale.
I'm already seeing the illustration.
I sweat differently now. I sweat differently than I used to.
What do you mean?
Like I sweat a lot more from my brow. And that never used to happen. Like now I can when I'm working out, I can wipe the sweat from my brow and literally just kind of.
Is that because you've never worked out before?
No. I've gone sweating. I grew up in Hawaii when I was a fat kid. Believe me, I've sweated.
But exercise sweat is different from just sitting around because it's hot sweat.
I don't know. Sometimes they are the same for me.
Really?
Yeah, but also played in shows. You know, I played drums in hot basements.
I get it. You were in bands.
Drums in hot basements. I want to read that memoir.
But I've sweated before, but it's a different type. It's just, you know.
You know what I love? I love that thick kind of Bermuda grass that you have in Hawaii. It feels so good on your feet.
Yeah, it's nice. Everything there is very beautiful.
It's lush.
Yeah.
So you're going to move back there, right, when you and Dee get married?
No.
What a terrible idea that would be for Jonah.
We think about Santa Cruz sometimes.
Santa Cruz, huh?
Yeah, just because we love the boardwalk.
He's getting wistful.
Yeah, Santa Cruz is great. Great little town. It's like you're in the mountains, but you're next to the beach, and you're right near a city. It's very nice.
Except for all those goddamn vampires.
Just got to be careful, man.
Actually, I think the shirtless saxophone concerts are worse than the vampires.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I saw some old group there at that beach, at that stage where the shirtless saxophone guy played.
Like the Turtles or something.
Who was that? Diana Ross's old band, but she wasn't there.
The Supremes?
The Supremes, but it was just like all these, it was like one original Supreme.
The Sups.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just a Supreme.
It was one Supreme with a few other backups.
Oh, well, that's not really
but
the Supremes.
They did all the songs.
Yeah, Santa Cruz is great. That's where I went up and did the They Might Be Giants podcast, and it's a fucking great...
Has that been the first time you were over there?
I just hadn't been there in a really long time.
Yeah. It hasn't gotten better.
It's no, but you know what I like about Santa Cruz
now.
Is that it might be a little stabby, but it's relatively untouched by chain businesses. There's still a lot of local, small.
It has that mountain town vibe to it.
Yeah,
it's just because it's a lot of mom and pop.
Like their boardwalk.
There.
I mean, their kind of main strip downtown hasn't been turned into like Urban Outfitters.
There's some of it,
but it's just like there's still enough. Yeah.
There's a good comic book shop over there. There's a good record store around there.
Records, what?
Music shoppy.
What is he saying? I wanted to. There's a lady sitting next to you this whole time, Jonah.
You want to think with the way we were talking.
Were you aware?
I put the microphone away from my giggling voice because I thought we were going to like magic trick me that I just showed up. Oh, thanks for turning my microphone.
No,
I'm not sure.
No, it was on. It was on the whole time.
I don't know what this one is.
It was on the whole time.
So many buttons.
Oh.
So Andy Bolt is here. Andy I wanted to have Andy on. Andy did a show for us on the Nerds channel called Dork Fork. And mm-hmm. And there was some blowback. There was a little bit of
about. What are you talking about, Chris? I think everybody really loved it.
If you didn't read the comments, you might feel that way.
What happened?
No, I'm sorry. We have to joke about it.
I mean, I think the very first comment was, so you guys are aware we did the show Dork Fork.
Yes.
And
so just a little background before you talk about the comments. So Andy met with Andy. Andy does a lot of work with the Fine Brothers, and Andy has a UCB background and really funny. And so we sat down and we're like, what can we do together? And she was like, well, I really want to kind of do this cooking show. And we said, oh, you know, it'd be fun is if we did a cooking show that sort of revolved around premieres of series that we love, like Doctor Who and Dexter and Walking Dead. And then we'll sort of see about crafting some sort of a themed meal around those premieres. And so, you know, we set it up, and the first one was Doctor Who, and we got Alton Brown on the show, and you guys made it, and then the internet shit blood a little bit. And so,
can we pull up some of our favorite comments?
Oh. I feel like I missed out on this. I believe
my buddy Ben told me that the very first comment was, I want to punch that girl in the face. And I think that was the first one.
Yeah. Well,
so, I mean,
are you sure they weren't watching?
Right out the gate, I was feeling really
you
wanted
to get
good.
Punched in the face.
Like, since it's the internet and it's mostly young males commenting on things, they must have been pretty horrible to you since you are not a male, but a female.
Oh, I'm a female. Also, what I found interesting, okay. All right, guys. It's just a new thing to be. I feel like they're very proud, like nerds and like geeks and stuff like that, which like I consider myself a part of those people. But there's like, they're not nerds. They're not geeks. And I was like, why are you being so mean? But then one said, I'm just here for AB. And I was like, Andy Bull, what's
Alton
up?
Brown.
I was like, oh,
oh
shit.
It's Alton Brown. And then people were like, and then but some of the comments were like, boy, Alton Brown really seems like he doesn't want to be there. Like, everyone's doing bits.
Yeah.
Like, Alton, he's your buddies now.
Oh, yeah. Alton Brown is, like, great. And, you know, he, like, sent me an email. He's like, hey, you call me an asshole 6 times. I guess that means you like me. And I was like, what can I say? I was that girl in the, you know, sandbox who shoves the guy that he likes. You know, and we just, like, joke around. And
pull
like,
the microphone up a little bit. Yeah, there you go. That's right. They fall down. I apologize.
Okay. It's all right. He was, you know, he was one of those guys that was, like, I could tell he was, like, kind of doing bits like on set, like while people were just like getting ready, but he was doing like this kind of like asshole bit. And I go, man, you're a real dick, Alton Brown. And then he laughed. And then he just like started having a really great time. And then that was like kind of our thing. And then like off camera, we're joking about like, you know, how he's more of a Doctor Who fan because he's like older. He was like around when the show started.
Yeah.
You know, and
he's such a great guy. We had him on
so
our podcast.
So
and I love him.
Yeah.
And he's great. And I think some of the disconnect may have happened where, because some of the, a lot of the comments that I read were like, those hosts don't know what they're doing. Like, no, they're comedians. And so I think maybe the presentation might have been off because to me, what I saw you guys doing was like a UCB sketch.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sort of that purposely awkward
host. So they wanted a cooking show?
Yeah, yeah. They were expecting a cooking show, but it was really more of a comedy show, and then there was a cooking element to it. Mm. And because I totally understood, like, if you did what you guys did at a live UCB show, where you guys are like, oh, we're the awkward hosts and we're fucking around, you know, like we're being purposely awkward. You purposely left like a lot of weird awkward moments in.
Yeah.
Because that's what you would do at a UCB show. And then, but for some reason, when people are watching the video, it's not contextualized that way. Mm-hmm. And so they just go, those people are awkward. And you're they're terrible. No, they're comics and they're doing bits.
Yeah, I was like, oh, like, I'm being terrible on purpose, guys. It's a joke. Yeah. So I got, you know, one guy was like very upset that I didn't tie my hair up. And he thought it was like very gross. And he just wished that health code wise. And I'm like, I'm not serving anybody the food. Like, he went out of his way to like email me and stuff. Like, it's so funny. I don't know. Like, it was really funny, but it was also like, you know, yeah, very, very sad. But we like turned that show around so fast too. And anyway, I was happy with it. And Alton had fun.
Well, the one thing you got to remember is that if a person's leaving an internet comment, they thus cease to matter.
Jesus Christ, they just don't matter. You know, people say a lot of nice things about you on the website.
I'm sure, and it's great, and it's fine. but I don't read them.
No, it's not that. It's just, you know, I am very tied to the community of people who I'm just in it. I'm in the trenches all the time and kind of seeing, you know, and so I called you and I was like, Andy, yeah. I adore you and I'm so sorry that people are being mean and I don't want you to feel bad. And the other thing that I want people to understand is like, it's the first one.
Yeah.
And we had 5 days to, you had to write it in like right away and shoot it and edit it. And it was just the first thing. And so what I would say to people is like, look, you learn, like we shot something and we saw what to do and what not to do. And the show will evolve, you know, based on user suggestions and it'll grow. And just like the first of anything is always a little awkward.
Yeah. And, you know, like I work with the Fine Brothers a lot, who are also producers on this project. And, you know, it's just that thing of just like, man, like if you talk to any YouTuber who's like doing really well, they're just like, oh, yeah, people are awful. Like they're shit. Like you can't don't read those, you know.
Yeah. Beyonce. Beyonce doesn't read internet comments.
She emailed me this morning, though.
Trying to get you to go to Obama's?
Yeah.
You going? Yeah, I don't know. Nolsey and I are kind of on the outs. But
oh, that's too bad. Is it the thing you said about Blue Rye?
Probably. Fool me, Beyonce.
I just
shame
didn't like
on
Watch the
you.
Throne as much as everyone else. I'm
fool
sorry.
Me betwice. I'm so sorry.
See, that kind of joke I would have gotten ripped apart for. Chris,
you would have gotten ripped apart for that joke.
Kids don't like puns, okay? 8-year-olds don't like puns. I'm getting rid of them.
I love
Anybody
puns.
Should like puns.
I love puns. Anyway.
You should stop liking it like about when you're a teenager and then you're a jaded 20-something. But as you start getting towards into your 30s, I think like you start to really appreciate puns.
Start to re-embrace the
pun. What was your background? I mean, like how much stuff were you doing at UCB? Like what was were you teaching or taking classes?
Oh, man. Like I started in UCB like 2005. And, you know, I kind of just did it. I was on like a slew of different mod teams when they first started doing mod teams in L.A. I did my one-person show over there. I got to like do the showcase for Lorne Michaels and all that stuff. And
how did it go?
It went really well. That was, oh man, like I was very honored. They picked like 10 comedians to, you know, to do that. Like Mike Shoemaker and Seth Meyers and Lorne. And I was just like, at this point I was working for National Lampoon Lemmings. Like I was doing this like online sketch show for them, which was like paying me. And I was very excited about that. And then I got this call from Besser and it was like really cool. And then I was backstage and I felt like I was going to shit myself and throw up at the same time. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shit and vomit. Oh my God, I'm like going to gargoyle.
If you do that, then you bow and say thank you. Yeah. Thanks,
and
everyone.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
Performance
you.
Art.
And I did. They were like, you get to do two things. Make one of them an impression. This was right when like Conan was like, there was all this drama about Conan. And so I did my Conan O'Brien impression, and I had, like, big shoes to make me really tall and stuff. And then I did this other character that I really love, which is the battered housewife cooking show, this, like, sketch that I did of, like, she's battered, but she hosts this cooking show, and it's, like, sad and funny. And
just trying not to burn anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, he doesn't like it when it's too spicy, that sort of thing. And, and yeah, it went like super well and it was like really fun. And then I didn't get the show, guys. I didn't get the show.
But you still got to.
I'm not heard about this. I'm not on SNL. I'm being ripped apart on the internet.
But I think, you know, I think a couple things. I think people sort of felt because, I mean, you're not, you, Doctor Who was not something that you had really watched before.
Well, Doctor Who, like when we had our meeting or whatever, and I was like pitching this idea, and you're just like, hey, like what if you did Doctor Who? I was like, what if we did like a Breaking Bad? You know, like,
I may have forced Doctor Who on you because I got
the dorkiest show on TV, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Well, he's a chemistry teacher.
But I really,
that's where it ends.
But, but yeah, like you were excited about this Doctor Who stuff, and I was like, well, I'll start, you know, watching it. And then I got through like the entire last season, and I watched like all these old episodes, and now I'm like really addicted to it. And I'm like much more partial to Matt Smith than I like. Everybody's talking about these other doctors, but I can't like them as much because I kind of came in like in the Matt Smith
with
season.
Matt, yep.
And he's so adorable. And I'm a girl, guys, by the way.
We're mostly girl. Us three.
A lot of us are. Yeah, we're a lot of girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then there's some manger. And then
back hair.
And back hair. Well, I got rid of that. So now I'm more girl.
Ooh, back to girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You go.
You go.
Girl.
You go, girl. Getting your back waxed is like having 29 sets of tiny balls on your back and then a drunk British soccer hooligan kicks every one of them with a cleat.
Yeah. I had a lady, she had to shooting something yesterday and she threaded my eyebrows.
Ooh.
You know, have you ever done that?
I haven't done it, but the Armenians are really good at it. I live like near Glendale, so yeah. they're all over the place. I've wondered
like
how it goes.
There's a way to kind of set it up to where you just rub it against where the hair is on your eyebrows and it just tears it out one by one.
Wow. Yeah, one by one.
It's really bad.
I gotta say, like, my boyfriend and I were like getting ready for an anniversary. This is an old boyfriend, and I was like, I'm gonna save this relationship. Like, I'm gonna do the bikini waxing thing.
Like, that's so like, sad if that's what's gonna save the relationship.
Guys, I was 23 and very smart. I knew how relationships work.
Listen, Andy, this relationship's really cool and everything, but you got to trim those hedges or I just can't hang.
Well, like, we weren't having sex a lot, so I'm just like, oh, I'm going to do what real women do. And I'm, like, way too embarrassed to, like, meet with a woman and have her get in there. So my friend was like, you know, you can do it yourself. So I, like, took some Advil, and then I had, like, a half a bottle of wine. And I got the wax.
Every great story starts this way. And,
I mean, just the Advil and the half bottle of wine probably would have saved it.
Yeah.
But I went in my room and I did one strip and I screamed and I cried and I never did any of the rest.
Ah,
so
you were habsies?
I had a very patchy. It was
very angular.
Anyway,
it just looked like a stray kitten that you find in a trash can.
Why am I telling this stuff? People are going to use it in the comments to hate on Andy Boltmore.
Well,
giving them ammo.
I think we learned. So I think maybe there's a little disconnect there, and I think people. Mm-hmm. Wanting the show to be a little more about the guests and about the food.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? We did it and we learned.
Yeah.
And you know.
I just like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just so funny because I've never been like, I felt like I was being outcasted by like the geeks and the nerds. And like last night I'm at this screening for this movie that's like being made by this filmmaker. And it's all about this kid who like saw Star Wars and it changed his life. And it's really good, by the way. But like people in the lobby are talking about going to see like the 25th anniversary of like Monster Squad. And I was like, oh, I was at the 20th anniversary screening of that. I didn't know they were doing 25th. I'm excited to go. And like this guy was probably like 45, like really overweight. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm and then I'm just like burnt from like these nerd comments. And I was like, oh, I don't belong anywhere.
Do you know what's funny is that, or maybe it's not so funny, but when you care so much about a culture and you live so much in your culture, first of all, it's impossible to consume everything and still have a job.
Yes.
So the fact that you didn't see Doctor Who up until now does not, to me, say like, well, she's not a nerd. Like, you trip out on other stuff and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say is that, It is the hardest insult to take when someone, because basically what they're saying is you're not you or you're not, you know, like you're not, it attacks like your core belief system and like your whole sense of who you are.
Yeah.
And they go, you're not really that because you didn't do this thing that I define as that.
Yeah.
You're like, but I didn't, I just didn't know.
I think that's the worst part of nerd culture is like, you know, they're always talking about how they're the outcast. But all they do is just try to label people and shove them away.
Well, that's that is my least favorite dark underbelly of nerd culture is sort of is kind of and one hand saying like, hey, it sucks that, you know, people don't accept us for what we love, and then on the other hand going, but fuck that guy,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if any group should be the most accepting group.
Yeah, there's a really good Emo Phillips bit on Equals Emo Square where he's like, oh, I met a guy the other day, and then like he starts breaking down like, oh, you're from St. Louis? I'm from St. Louis. Are you from West St. Louis or East St. Louis? Like, West St. Louis, me too. Are you from this town? And it just starts breaking it down all the way into like, oh, what church did you go to? Did you go to the New Baptist of America, or did you go to the East Baptist? And like it goes down to even further and further towards like one little thing is different. And then he goes, die, heretic! And like, it's just like all these things in common. There's one that's wrong.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then you're like, oh, fucking, I don't know you.
But yeah. I gotta say, what I'm really proud of is I feel like I brought everybody together. I gave them one thing to hate, and I did that for them. You know what I mean?
That's like Ozymandias from The Watchmen. he brought everybody together because of this horrible thing.
Yeah.
And then, to be fair, I don't. Yeah, every comment, by the way, was not.
Oh,
it was,
no.
You know, I mean,
I got like a lot of new Twitter followers. Like a lot of people had a lot of nice things to say.
Some people in the comments wanted to stab me.
I mean, I get it.
It did make me feel happy to see some people in the comments go, guys, this is the first episode. They're people. Let's all fucking chill. Just a hair.
Well, I loved like you went on there and you were like commenting like with some of these kids.
I just don't like seeing people. Listen, it's one thing if someone says, I didn't like this show.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's your opinion. Of course you're entitled to have that opinion. But when people are like, you know, they were just, it was very horrible personal attacks.
Yeah.
You know, like these people should fucking die. And it's like, hey, let's not call people garbage and say they should die. Like that to me is like, that's not just expressing your opinion. That's just being a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Over a fucking free video.
Like when our friends Allie and Georgia like first put out their like, you know, drinking drinks videos. Like I remember the comments were just like, they were just had nothing to do with just like the redhead's kind of fuckable, but I'd pass on the other one.
Yeah.
With the teeth. Like, you know, they were just they would tear apart the person.
I was really scrolling for those I'd fuck the redhead comments, and there just aren't enough.
There aren't enough.
Yeah.
I guess if she was around.
Fuck her after I murdered her. God damn it.
I mean, I guess I just,
I'll take it.
You know, when you see people commenting like from a place of authority and you know they're wrong,
mm-hmm.
you just want to be like, and it's the trap. It's the fucking internet trap of like, I have to let you know you're wrong.
Yeah.
Which is what they're doing. But then that's what you're doing, and then that's just the. But when people are like, you know, it's easy to tell that Alton is thinking this or this. It's like it's not what's happening.
Yeah,
he's doing a fucking
like
bit.
25 minutes of bits, guys.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know. Yeah, but the thing that I think is so funny is that all of them were just like, oh my god, I can't believe Chris Hardwick's talking to me. I didn't mean it, Chris. Like everything you do is great. Love you. Like you know.
Yeah, that part was pretty great. No, but so you know, so all I will say on the whole thing is that I don't think it was a complete fiasco. I think it was just we tried some, or you know,
yeah.
you guys tried something and it didn't connect the way that you wanted it to away. But you're gonna play with it,
the Nerdist Network. Like one thing that's so great about it is that like you have like Weird Al, and you've got like all these people that everybody already knows.
Yeah.
And then I put up this show with me and my good friend Harrison. Everybody's like, "Who are these fuck nuts?" And I'm like, "No, you shouldn't know who we are. I'm not expecting you to." But yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I get that. Like they were all coming to see Alton, and they got like this piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I just don't want you to feel bad.
I appreciate it.
Because not everyone is. You know, I'm still not used to internet hatred.
And I gotta say though.
Oh, it was just a bunch of suits walk by.
Handsome men in nice suits.
Oh yeah, with the tone change.
Yeah.
Sorry. Today on Thai Prawn, we're gonna relate the latest Book Brothers Thai. I'm sorry, Eddie.
I was just gonna say that, you know, like after that weekend of me like turning off the internet and pretending like life's gonna be okay, I was like doing stand-up at the Comedy Store, and I was like in the green room, and all these comics were just like, man, all the pilots suck. Like every new show's shit. Like Mindy Kaling's show, not funny. And I was like, you guys don't know. Like they've been working on it for a really long time. Like just give it a chance. Like,
oh, right.
Why don't you be? I had nothing negative to say about anyone's comedy ever.
It really
and
does
really,
teach you
I think
to
it made
not
be a better person.
It teaches you not to just like be a judgmental dick to people, because you're mm-hmm. like, well, you don't know exactly what's going on because you weren't there, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen next, and you know. But it's just,
If you don't like it, just don't watch it. Don't like track down what my email is online and attack me for my freckles. I mean, come on, guys. I have a pigment issue with my skin. Let's leave it alone.
Come on.
Come on.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
They're the worst.
But I think the first episode was 9 minutes long. And so I think what we decided to do was let's chop the show down. Let's focus more on the guest, Bria Grant's guest Dexter episode.
She just sent me a rough cut out of it this morning. And like, she's like so much fun and she's so game for stuff.
She's great.
And, like I love her. Like I've done stuff. She was like at UCB. I met her over there. And
who is this one?
She was on Dexter season 6. She was also a really fast runner in Heroes. Bria Grant. Short blonde hair.
Bria Grant.
Super
hot.
Yeah,
she was the one.
She's awesome.
Super great.
She was like
really
taking
funny.
The stuff because she, like, mm-hmm.
You've met her before. Bria's amazing. She's awesome. Like such a funny, cool, smart, directed a movie.
Yeah.
Just really cool girl.
Yeah,
just really, really cool girl.
She's so awesome.
Gearing up for the new season.
You should watch Dork Fork because she talks about being on the show and stuff.
Sweet.
That's really fun. Everything you could ever want.
That's all I'm going to say.
So was there any sort of is there any sort of thing of like, well, we're not chefs, we're just like people who are fans who are making fan food.
Okay,
we're not.
So like Harrison and I have known each other since I met him like 2004 doing improv, and ever since then we've been talking about fucking doing a cooking show. And he, like, when I met him, he was like, I don't know, like 100 pounds heavier. And I was like, dude, like, you should go to Weight Watchers. And we would go to Weight Watchers meetings together. And we would like make all these recipes and we both started like cooking a lot. And
lost so much weight,
and he looks fucking awesome, you know? And,
Harrison lost 100 pounds?
Yeah, over 100 pounds.
I didn't know that.
Funny.
Yeah.
He used to have clean cut hair and be overweight. And now when he lost all the weight, he grew his hair and looks like a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. And, so like, we really love cooking. And like, I've taken cooking classes because I'm a really big fan of it, but I've never been to Le Cordon Bleu because they won't let you just take some classes. You have to be fully committed.
You can't do part-time.
I got a lecture and I was like,
can
fine.
Can I do part-time Harvard?
Can I just part-time it? Actually, you can. Online. You can do online correspondence.
Yeah.
Oh.
Huh? Yeah, well, there you go.
Good joke, John.
But we
structurally imbalanced. Googled what they did before saying that thing off the top of my head.
I have like, you know, very nerdy group of friends, and like we would do parties all the time where like we pick like a movie and then we like make a meal around it and everybody hosts at different places. And so like, you know, like when we would watch Goodfellas, we would like slice, you know, the
garlic with a razor blade.
Yeah. Like we would do all that stuff in it and it was really fun. And then when I wanted to do the show, it was like about like hanging out with your friends, cooking in the kitchen. You don't have to be a pro chef we'll show you how to make fun theme stuff.
It is a fact of life. You don't have to be a pro chef to cook food.
Yeah.
Most people are not pro chefs, it turns out.
What kind of show's going to show me how to like boil water?
Show's not on anymore, but it still works.
Oh, I guess I should have checked to see if that show was still on.
So you're kind of getting shit from the food nerds, and you're getting shit from the Doctor Who nerds.
Like it was so funny. Like I didn't really think people were gonna. I mean, I guess we should have said, like, hello, kids. Like, we are not pro chefs.
We're comedians.
You got to spell everything out. I mean, that's what the fine said. They're just like, in our experience, like, when you spell it out, like, they're on board. Like, use that first one to fucking lay it out. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess. But, like, they'll get it. I'm like, oh, no, he's 8, and he lives in England, and he hates me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't help it. But...
Well,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to the next two episodes and just to see how, because the other thing that's interesting to me is that one of the things that I love about the YouTube initiative that we've had and just this ability that I've had to program so many different shows is that it really is like, it's like a playground. Like each show is like a little hamster or a chia pet that you can sort of grow and mold.
Yeah.
And well, you can't really mold a hamster. I don't recommend that. But I mean, it's just the process of like, okay, we did that and it didn't work, but I think I see how it's going to work. And then I get super excited about like, let's try this and let's try this and let's see if this works.
Yeah.
You know? So I just, you know, I hope the people who are really angry at least aren't so full of rage that they completely wrote you guys off and didn't give you a chance to see what you guys do in episode 2 and 3 and just like, you know, and just now kind of knowing like, oh, it's, you know, we're comedians. It's silly. It's not, you know, it was like the first episode was purposely awkward because that's a style of you. That is a UCB and like Second City comedy thing of like the purposely, I mean, it's a lot of sketch comedy, but I see it more like at UCB where it's like super awkward.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a British comedy thing too.
Yeah, 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 totally. And like with Alton being there, you know, we were just like, hey, dude, like, we didn't know if he was like going to come in and be like, you get 5 minutes, or if he was going to be, you know, and then he was like game for stuff. And then we made a TARDIS out of cardboard, which looked fucking awesome. Almost too good, because I, you know, like some kids were like shitting on that too. I'm like, that is the best cardboard TARDIS.
That's what you get really bummed about. That's what you get really bummed about.
But yeah, like, and he was super great. And we were like, yeah, like, we're going to be awkward and we're going to make it uncomfortable for you. And he was like, great, I'll totally like play that up. You know what I mean? And
well,
so he had a lot of good one-liners.
I just wanted to have you on just so people could hear you as the person, and you as charming and funny and sweet, and not, you know, like whatever this idea they had in the of like who the, because you, it's funny, you do characters and things, but a lot of times, unless it's really obvious you're doing characters, or you say, like you said, we are doing characters, then people are like, what the fuck is going on? And you're like, it's a bit, please. Yeah. It just, I'm sorry I didn't spell that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
but I think a lot of people though, like in the comments and stuff too, which why am I still reading these, are just like, hey, like, give it a chance, guys. Like, pilots suck. Like, that's how it goes. Like, you know, it'll work out. Like, I feel like they're optimistic.
The first episode of almost anything is like the first episode of the bowling show I thought was clunky because we didn't know what we were doing, and it just
you see
if you watch the first episode of our bowling show and the most recent episode, they're pretty different. I mean, like, structurally dramatically different.
Yeah,
because we were just learning. We were just sort of like,
and I think that's the thing about the web, like, it's not like, okay, you're gonna put this in like a half hour slot on NBC is like must see, like, you know what that structure is.
And what a bummer, like if you're doing television, so let's say you were doing Dork Fork for television, mm-hmm. and that happened, but you did 13 episodes of that and then it started airing, and then you're like, it's too late to
totally.
So anyway, that's it. I just want to come have you on, and I hope people are nicer, and, you know, I don't know. I think you're a sweetheart, so
Thanks, Chris Hardwick.
I hope people stop being mean to you.
Oh, thanks. I think, but that's what's so great about the internet. Like, it blows over so fast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they all have something new to hate.
Right.
There's a million mm-hmm. videos being posted the next day.
Yeah. But my mom, who, like, doesn't, you know anything, she's never, like, going on YouTube. She just, like, because she's too busy playing World of Warcraft, and she doesn't have time for YouTube. But she, like,
your mom really plays
the
WoW?
Oh, man. When she was getting her hysterectomy, my sisters and I were like, hey, you're going to be laid up for 3 weeks. You should try this. I think you'd really like it. She writes, like, sci-fi stuff, and she's a school teacher, or was. But, man, she has not stopped playing. That was, like, 6 years ago or 7 years ago.
Wow.
Every time I go home, she's like, look at my new character. I named this one after you. And I like love watching her play, but because she was a school teacher, she's got like, you know, she's playing with kids that are like 14, but in the Midwest, and they'll use the wrong, like, there or something, and she'll be like, it's T-H-E-I-R. Could you not curse so much? And I'm like, mom, like, she's got her headset now, like, she's very
that's adorable.
She's very into it. Like, I grew up on a ranch where, like, we don't have electricity if the generator's not on, and we didn't have internet until after I was out of high school. And, like, now, if there's no internet, she's going to freak out because
she can't get online to play WoW.
She can't get online. And, like, her and her sister have become, like, best friends because of it. Like, they've totally reunited because my aunt was like, oh, I'll show you what's up. Like, follow me, you know?
Oh, and, that's adorable.
Yeah.
That is goddamn adorable.
And she's
adorable.
Like, oh, my God. She's like, I got her some BlizzCon t-shirts, and she wears them all the time. But she hasn't been to BlizzCon, but she really wants to go. But
we're going to send your mom to BlizzCon.
Oh, my God, you should. I told her, I was like, if you go, like, I want to film you there. Like,
we should shoot your mom at BlizzCon.
Okay, it's on her bucket list because she's got the cancer, guys. So and you bastards are making comments about me. No.
I like how you're going to try to take some of the.
she's been bad on cancer for a while now, and she's in a new clinical trial. And so, like, she gets sick a lot, and because the medicine makes her sick, so she's like, I'm just laid up playing World of Warcraft.
Can she travel? You know?
She can, but it depends. Like, her doctor is in LA, so she stays with me, like, every 3 weeks when she comes down for stuff.
I will tell you what, if your mother is up to it, I will personally send her to BlizzCon.
Oh my God, she's gonna flip.
And like
out.
whether or not we're able to shoot it, like if she feels like doing that, fine. But if not, I would just send your mom to BlizzCon just so she could have the experience of going to BlizzCon.
Oh my God, like, she will like freak out. Like, you have no idea. Cause like, we've been making like bucket list stuff, and like, I did stand up with her cause I do a bunch of jokes about like cancer in the family and stuff. And I was like, my mom's always wanted to stand up, so I'm just going to do the cancer jokes and we'll see like what her responses were. And it was like a really depressing Sklar Brothers, like kind of like back and forth thing.
Like, depressing Sklar Brothers has got to be the name of a band.
Yeah. And by far the funniest thing I've ever done, like by far. Like it was super great. Like I've wanted to do like more stuff like that. And so now I'm going to do like, I'm currently putting together like a comedy tour with like some of my other stand-up friends that we're going to like raise awareness for the type of cancer she has. She actually has Steve Jobs cancer. That's what we call it.
Pancreatic cancer?
It starts in the pancreas, but it's called carcinoid endocrine. And her doctor used to always brag about how like, hey, Steve Jobs is my patient.
Oh.
And he's been around for a while. And he doesn't even take all the treatments I suggest. So you're going to be fine. And then he died.
So now
and
my she's mom, taking all the treatments he suggests?
So now she's taking every treatment we can get our hands on. But it was just like her doctor... Like once my mom told him I was a comedian, now every time we go and he's like, hey, listen to this.
You know what I mean? No, like, come on.
Yes. And he's always like pitching me jokes. And then my mom had like, she had this giant surgery and then she got a hernia like because of that surgery. So she had to have another surgery. And then and she was like, yeah, like I'm kind of worried about like my stitches. And he's like, don't want anybody to make you laugh here because you might bust a seam.
Oh.
And then he always does
George McFly
slow
style.
Pan.
You did the George McFly style. Like
yeah.
just can't do
that. And my mom was like at the hospital and she told him I was going to be putting together this like cancer tour or whatever. And he's so fucking excited. And so I think I'm going to have him like write material and I think he should come and like do it. Cause he's always speaking out about this cancer stuff. He's like the guy. He's the most amazing doctor. He's the only guy who does this kind of cancer like on this coast. And he was interviewed on television when Steve Jobs died, all that stuff. But he's always like making jokes, you know, making light of it. And I think he should like go on stage anyway. I think it'd be really fun. Yeah.
You have to. I mean, like that's the comedy gene that we have. That we have to. We have to deal with the most horrible things in our world.
Yeah.
That's just how we have to deal with it.
Yeah, for me, I'm just like traffic really isn't that bad. Like, what's really bad? Okay, this shit. Do you know what I mean? And like, I don't know. I guess I do like a lot of darker stuff, but I don't know. I feel like that's the stuff we should be laughing about. And I get people coming up, like when I do some cancer material, like people coming up being like, hey, like my mom died of cancer. Like, that was so great. Like, thanks. Like, we used to laugh about it. And then I got one guy that came up and was just like, my mom fucking died of cancer. Don't appreciate it. And I was like, cool, dude. Like, we all handle it differently, you know?
But your mom is way on board.
Oh, my mom's so on board. She pitches me jokes. Like, she, which is, it's funny because a lot of them are like fart jokes because she had this one medication that was like making her fart all the time. And she's like, you should do jokes about.
No.
She was like, I sound like a machine gun duck or like whatever. And so I would just like read joke pitches from my mom like on stage.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And those went really well. And I did it like when she was on stage with me and she was like, oh yeah, that happens to me, you know? Or then she's like, man, when I got it, I totally thought I was going to die. And everybody's like, what? Like, it was so funny. Like,
I'm going to send her to BlizzCon.
Oh man.
It's done. Man. It's going to happen.
She'll be so excited.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
So the next Dork Fork is going to be, what is it? September 30th. It's the same day as the premiere of Dexter, I believe.
Dexter premieres September 30th. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it'll be that weekend.
Yeah, it'll be that weekend.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Good to see you, Andy.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
Well, you should just make comments on the internet about it then. Yeah.
Now you're a part of it. Now you're a part of the you're part of the glorious podcast. Well, sure. Bye. Jonah takes his normal chair again.
With the shitty fucking stand.
I know.
We could just
it was so nice just
Yeah.
You could keep the microphone you were at.
What?
You could have stayed there if you wanted.
Well, he took the spot.
Well, we all just shifted over to this is where we normally go.
You shifted. No one shifted except for you.
I can go back.
No, it's fine. We got to give him his space. It'll be okay.
This got a little tense for a minute. Do you want your chair back, buddy? Now it's just empty.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I feel like I get angry quick these days.
Yeah, you do. It's because you quit your job. So you're on a short fuse.
It's been for months now.
Can I tell you?
You turned 30.
Stop trying to find the thing.
No, I'm finding the thing for you.
No.
It's I find that I have had a little bit of a tense short fuse lately. And I think it's, you know, sometimes it's just if you're working a lot and you're overwhelmed and you're not taking any time off and you have lack of sleep, then it's easy to go from like, hey guys, what's going on? What the fuck is that? Like in,
yeah,
it like, it just, cause you just need to, you take it from me. You need to rest a little bit and relax and sort of and because you're leaving this, you know, what was a secure job.
Yeah.
It's a little stressful.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's not easy to just quit a job to go pursue like things that you really, really want to do.
You think it's because I turned 30?
I still think it's that.
Nah. You know,
taking clock.
You know what? It doesn't, it's all the leading up to turning when the digits shift.
Yeah, yeah.
After you do it, it's done.
I'm okay being 30. I am really
prepping my short fuse.
By activating it often?
No, it hasn't. It's been really like, I don't know. It's been like the while now. I don't know. It's just like I react negatively first towards things, or I let things that like would be like, oh, that's too bad, like destroy my day and a half.
You're stressed. You're stressed. You know, there's a lot that is not in your conscious mind that still affects you. Like shit just bubbles under the surface and that you kind of just, most of the time you might play it off and be like, eh, it's not a big deal. But it's just like, you know, it's kind of like what Andy was saying. It does just stay in there and then the anxiety comes out.
Well,
so
you saw like a thing that happened because of like the other day where I was like, oh fuck, I can't make the gym. I'm going to have a pumpkin latte now.
Right.
Like that like reaction, just like, fuck it.
Not only are you going to miss the gym, you're going to drink something you know is going to make you feel bad about yourself later.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think it's a, you know, that's sort of a control issue. Like, well, fuck, I'll fucking show you. Who am I yelling at? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it really, it's just, You're just trying to make yourself feel bad.
In fairness to you, Jonah, it's a seasonal drink. Why not?
Well, I know. That's why I love so much. No, that's the problem with the fall.
It's not about the pumpkin latte. It's about the fact that...
Chris?
But
isn't it about the pumpkin latte?
It is about the... No, it's the reason he's going to feel bad about it is because he's made a deal with himself. There's nothing wrong with pumpkin lattes.
I know. You don't need to explain this. Everyone in our audience knows exactly what you're talking about because I assume we are all... fucked up like Jonah and I are.
Oh, I just smelled pizza. I better just eat a pizza. You know, like it's that sort of thing where you just go, well, fuck it. I might as well just, I'll fucking run this into the ground.
It sucks that I live two doors down from a donut shop.
Which one? Oh, don't say it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Shit.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
It's fine. Anyway.
They'll just cross, you know, reference everything he's ever said.
Also, listen, here's the other thing that you have to understand. There, I think, like I said, there are things that are not in your conscious mind that still affect your emotional state. And when you're going through a lot of changes, you subconsciously feel very... You subconscious...
Changes?
Yeah.
Changes.
I don't know all the lyrics to that. I just know...
Time.
Wait.
You really got mad
when you heard me do Bob Dylan.
Time.
So that's different. And then I sing Time is on our side, and that means that I'm Azazel.
If I could turn back time, keep slipping.
Into the future. Gotta get back in time. I like how we just went from word association to like just genre association.
Yeah, we just went with time.
So anyway, but I think because things might not be consciously apparent to you, when you feel like you're going through those moments in your life, you go, God, I'm really getting mad or I feel weird. What I find is helpful to do is take a step back and look at the landscape of your life and see what's going on. You just got engaged. Leaving your job.
Yeah.
You're trying to lose weight and you started an exercise regime. You've undertaken a lot of things that are really the biggest things that, you know, with barring tragedy, the biggest life changes that human beings in our culture go with.
Yeah.
Job, relationship, self-image. And you're fucking taking all that on at once. When you do that, then you start going, oh, maybe I shouldn't assess my life when I'm under these conditions because what's bubbling underneath is this sort of like uneasy uncertainty because you're going through a lot of changes and ultimately it'll all be fine and you'll get through it all and you'll be happy and you know, it's all okay. But as you're in that process, I think that's just a lot of that like uneasy, unstable stuff freaking you out.
I mean, like all that stuff happened, right? Like I started CrossFit and then I decided to propose and then
David CrossFit.
where
you just show up in boots and a shorts.
And then right after I proposed, I was like, I'm going to tell my bosses that I'm leaving.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I guess so.
What else coincides with that? I mean, maybe a date in August?
What's happening? In...
He turned 30.
Oh, you think that's that too? Is. Well, that is another big thing.
But I'm fine with being 30.
You think you're fine with it.
I think you're the one projecting.
I am not ready, Jonah.
you're not 30 yet.
I know.
You got 1 year.
I got 10 months.
10 months.
Ugh.
Yeah, but like you're great. You're doing good.
Well, for now.
And, but the thing is, that's
I didn't mind
thing.
Turning 30 at all.
Yeah, and it's also like people put a lot of stuff on 30 because of like the idea of it from 20, 30 years ago.
That was our parents' thing. My dad flipped out at 30.
Yeah, and what but the thing, do? Yeah.
What?
What did he do to flip out?
Well, he doesn't remember most of it because he drank through his entire 30s. We talked about it on the podcast. Like he just fucking, you know, in my dad's mind in 19, you know, he turned 30 in 71. Actually, my dad's 30 years older than I am.
Yeah.
So he just... It just kind of tweaked his brain, and I think in those days, 30 was it was like Don Draper 30 of like no, you're a fucking you know. Now we have these glorious extended adolescences, and
well, also, and especially living in the city that we live in and being in this industry is it's what.
What?
Oh, it's a great city.
What are you talking about?
You get to be a kid.
No, I mean, it's not a fun city to get older in. That's what I'm thinking.
No, but like it's
but
like,
you got plenty of time. Listen, if you ever want to feel better about your age, just hang out with someone 15 years older. That's the 15 years older mark. Because then when you see that they're okay and it's not a big deal that and they're 15 years older than you are, you kind of feel better.
It's funny, like, talking to, like, you know, I'll talk to, like, Dana Gould sometimes and, like, hearing him, like, just kind of have the same kind of, you know, irritations that any of us would. I go, oh,
sure.
It just doesn't, you know, just, you know, it's just that's the way it is.
Don't get so freaked out about what's coming down the pike that you don't appreciate that you're your age now, because you being 29 now, you'll wish you were 29 when you were like 60 and you're like, what's wrong with 29?
You know, my
so just enjoy it.
My dad said that once when I was like, when he turned 60, I was like, oh, how's it feel to be 60? You know, he's like, you know what? I was kind of getting scared, but then I realized something when I was turning 30. I was like, oh, I wish I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
It's like when I was turning 40. Oh man, if only I was still in my 30s. It's like, and he said, and then he finally realized, he's like, well, why don't I just like fucking have fun? I mean, like, why don't I just not have fun, but just appreciate.
I'll tell you what makes me feel okay is that my dad turned 71 this year and he's great.
Sharp the tech, sending emails.
Yeah. And my dad is great. Like he's happy. He's fucking energetic. He's hanging out at the bowling center all the time. He still has fun. Like he doesn't, there's no, I think whatever we build up in our idea, in our heads of like, oh my God, when you're 71, it's over. It is way not over for him. Yeah. And so it just, that's very comforting. And yes, my dad, it's so funny. So many things happen. My relationship with my dad, doing the podcast with my dad was probably one of the single most significant experiences that I've ever had with him. And I just thought it would be a fun thing because he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
But it totally, and I think I've talked about this on Pete's podcast. I did You Made It Weird. But it totally changed our relationship. And he, like, we bonded so hard. And afterwards, you know, lately he's been like, because he still has a flip phone. He was like, I'm going to get one of those smartphones so I can, he would never text before. He wouldn't email. He was one of these guys. He was like, if you want to communicate with me, pick up the phone. So I set up an email address for him and I put a little avatar of an old picture of him from when he was bowling and I gave him the password and he fucking sent me an email yesterday. You know, it was the perfect email, all caps. And it just said, this is going to take a lot of time and patience, not two of my strong suits. And then and then I wrote back and I was like, holy fuck, you're emailing. It's just like almost like if your dog started talking, be like, hey, can you go out and pick up some food? You'd be like, holy fuck, you're talking. It was kind of like that.
It's funny. What is it with dads and caps lock? First off, they have to find caps lock.
I know.
It seems like they can't find their way around a keyboard, but caps lock is something they decide to find.
I don't know how I learned to type, but caps lock is how I capitalize letters. It's very strange.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You don't shift type.
I don't shift.
You caps lock. Yeah. I guess it's just hitting a button.
Yeah.
But you're hitting it twice as opposed to just releasing it.
It was.
But my dad, and then the second email he wrote back, he was like, I know, great Larry King interview, and then he put a fucking smiley emoticon. I was like, where did you learn to do a smiley emoticon?
Maybe it's just like, you know, you can sometimes where the computers will set up where you can just click on it. Like the top
I think my stepmom probably was working with him on that.
Oh, wow, nice.
So,
working with him on that. I imagine them drawing up plans at night. What if we hit a colon?
There's a... It's just like a graph paper, like giant graph paper.
What if we put a zero in the center?
All these failed attempts at emoticons, you know? He's got the frowny one, like, oh, it's almost there. I just don't know how to make it seem happy. Wait a minute. There's another parenthesis.
No. She taps him on the shoulder and then turns the paper.
I would love to imagine that that's probably what happened. So then I got a text from my dad today too. He's not a texter. I got a text.
How about the tits on her? I hope it was that.
That's not far off the
my
kind of
dad
stuff.
My dad will comment on my Facebook through my mom's Facebook account. Like they have this, they have a joint email, one phone, and my mom has Facebook, so my dad uses it.
Yeah.
And it's just, and he'll like always like he'll comment on stuff. Looking good, Papa Ray. Like just like yeah. That'll say what it is. And I just want to tell him, like, dude, get your own fucking thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's
adorable.
It is pretty adorable, and so now I can actually email him stuff and links and pictures, and I can never do any of that before.
It's a good way for parents to keep in touch with their kids.
It is. It really is.
Well, now I feel like this whole world has opened up to him, so I'm going to start getting all these calls like, did you know you could buy... Yes, I know. Did you know you could... Yes, remember that thing?
I get a thing from my mom. It's like, are you out of a job?
Wow.
That's where it gets a little too...
But did you know who designed the G4 logo?
No.
Fun little bit of trivia. Shepard Fairey.
What?
Yep.
You've got to be kidding
me.
Not
kidding.
Huh.
Shepard Fairey designed the G4 logo.
Not one of his best works.
And then you go around the... You know that? You know when you go on the other side of Studio B, that big We Are G4 with the hand and the video game controllers? That's a Shepard Fairey.
Oh, that looks like... Crazy. I always thought it was just a Shepard Fairey ripoff, that one.
No.
Well... I guess that's what.
No, but I know what I'm putting in for when I leave. I'm gonna take that and sell it.
Is that what you're gonna?
That's my retirement.
What is happening with Attack of the Show?
We're great. You kidding?
Okay.
We got this new music on the open.
Yep.
There's a new open, which I think is beautiful.
They finally took Kevin Pereira off the open of the show. He's not been hosting for the last 3 months.
Really good looking open. The music is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. It's like you're just about to... It's like you're going to start watching...
Oh, that reminds me. How was the concert last night?
Variety show. You fucker.
What?
What?
Dave Matthews played the Hollywood Bowl last night.
Sorry.
See? Yeah, come on.
Right. Anyway, the music on the G4 Open, it really is like you're going to watch a Russian variety show. It's so strange.
Like Trololo?
Not at all. Does not at all fit.
Not Mr. Trololo?
No. It's like some sort of... It's like techno and Skrillex, but like with like a...
I think the best G4 promo I ever saw was when they used a Faint song, The Geeks Were Right, which is like a really good song from The Faint.
So tell me, so we don't know anything about the fate of Attack of the Show yet.
No, I think we'll be around.
It's a flagship show. I mean, even if they'll change the show with the network.
And whatever I read, I mean,
they'll change the show
for
sure.
I just sort of think they're just going to end up giving us a new logo and...
No, I think the structure of Attack of the Show is going to change. I think a lot's going to happen to that show because that's going to be the one show people are going to look for to know the difference in the change of the network.
Yeah,
this is just fucking shop talk.
Yeah, instead of
not to scare you, I'm sure you'll still have a producing job.
Instead of segments about like sweet kicks, it'll be like how to retain your chi.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, there'll be, you know, it'll be more like these alligators.
What's the best way to store wine?
Yeah. What's your perfect Sunday?
How do you know it's corked with Matt Myra? Yeah.
You may start getting to do the food segments you've always wanted to do, like fine dining segments. Today on Lobster Prawn. See, I made a lobster prawn.
Oh, I love that.
I kind of like lobster prawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pedro's doing their annual Lobster Fest coming up soon.
Oh, shit.
I've always wanted to go. I heard it's a lot of fun.
It's like Red Lobsters, but good.
So how was Dave Matthews at the Hollywood Bowl?
He was great.
With a guy like that who has so much fucking music, how do you think he decides which songs to play?
I was watching a documentary on them, and he actually sits down. Like, they went back to S-Pac, which is this place they play all the time. And they were showing him making the set list. And he had all the set lists from the previous times they played there out. And he was like, well, I'm just trying to make this different and not repeat from the last time we were here. And I think that's cool that he puts that much effort
into it. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, that's really
cool. But it was a really good show. And I took my girlfriend, Kiki, along with me. And she only fell asleep twice. So I think...
That's good.
Fell asleep
with a bowl? Yeah.
That seems impossible.
It's not impossible. Not where we were sitting.
There we go.
Where did you have good seats?
Were you in the Jaguar seats?
The Jaguar seats.
Jaguar.
No, no, no. We were, the box seats they have?
Yeah.
On either side of those is still there's bench seating.
Uh-huh.
So just on the edges. So we were on the edge there, and there a couple songs people were sitting during some of the newer songs.
Did you give her a lot of comment? Did you give her a running commentary during like he wrote this after a bad breakup?
I did. I was like, yeah. So I was like, oh, he's got the 12-string guitar. He's got a tenor sax. You're probably
did anybody see
Street.
Him? Did, like see you? Sorry, did anybody see you and recognize you? Or
No. Huh? It's a lot of I would say not our audience at those concerts. It's a lot of people that look like Chris was still drinking.
Oh boy,
that's what they look like.
How many?
Like I should have been in a '90s band.
How many like college T-shirts did you see?
Not many. It was kind of funny. Like it was the middle aged. It was like the middle aged crowd of Los Angeles that you see. That is middle aged.
Yeah.
It's not the crowd that you're like, oh, that guy could be 20.
Remember there was a Friends episode where they go see Dave Matthews Band.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
It was Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember that episode too. But
same difference.
Funny thing was like Dave.
not the same difference at all. Now Darius Rucker's doing country.
Yeah. I tried to listen to that record.
He's got the voice for it.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a great voice and a good way of, like, I like the way he.
I like him a lot, actually. I met him at MTV Music Awards one year, and he was fucking awesome.
That's funny. I gotta go.
You have to go to work?
I gotta go.
This is a good place to end this.
I gotta go rehearse prawn, everybody.
All right. You go rehearse prawn.
Lobster prawn.
With Kumail Nanjiani.
Lobster prawn. With Kumail Nanjiani. Tell him we said hi.
Oh, well.
Goodbye, my friend. Later. Nice to see you.
We'll just stop recording.
I guess so. I guess we'll just stop. We will cease to record.
Stop recording now, right?
You can't leave until we stop recording, can you?
That's just what we'll do.
So,
I don't know how long it takes those CDs to fire up. So let's get her almost
hitting the shut off button
now.
Here I go. Oh,
shut it down.
It's close. We're almost there. Here it goes.
Oh, your arm really is moving much slower than normal. You don't even have stuff. You're just hitting nothing.
Better hit this button now. Blam! It is off.
Andy Cantola is calling me.
Oh, your stage manager.
Oh.
I'll be right there. I'm in studio. You're right there.
I can hear him yelling at you.
Bye.
All right.
Enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy your lobster burrito.
Okay, that's one CD player down.
Actually, I didn't hit stop on either of them.
Oh, you're going to be late.
Okay, now I'm going
to
do it for real this time. Here I go. Here I go. Hit a stop. Okay, there it is.
You mimed it.
Hit a stop.
You mimed it.
Okay, we're done. Jonas, sit down. Okay, we're done. Yeah. All right, there we go.
Can't wait.
Oh.
What a piece of shit.
So, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I think I'm going to go to Disneyland tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, I think I want to just do something like that. Something selfish.
Do it. It's very selfish.
Yeah, just take Deanna and go down to Disneyland.
Do it.
Something spur of the moment.
Spontaneous.
Excitement. Wow, we really don't have the dynamic.
He just drives the show. I mean, I wouldn't have really thought it, but he's the spoke. He's the drive shaft. You are everybody.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Nerdist for a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 of free postage. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist.